What is going on, guys? Naeem Al-Obeidi here. I hope you're all enjoying your day today. Bitcoin breaks out over 40% in the last 48 hours after a traditional textbook death cross. We're going to talk about why this is important for Bitcoin heading into 2020, what we could have watched in order to predict this breakout, alongside with taking our questions from our audience and going over the fundamentals of what's happening as Bakkt hits all-time highs when it comes to trading volume, and also announcing a day later that they will be doing option contracts by the end of this year. Why does this all matter, and how does it also correlate to traditional markets alongside with other traditional hedges and storages of value like gold and silver? Because gold saw its breakout right before Bitcoin. So we're going to look at these charts and talk about what's happening here now that Bitcoin is over all of its moving averages and it's trying its best now for this death cross not to take place and to occur. And we're going to look at a lot of these questions here from the audience and also give away The Intelligent Investor. This is Warren Buffett's favorite book on investing. So stay tuned. Make sure to like the video if you guys want to participate in this giveaway, and we're gonna just dive straight into this technical analysis. As you can see here, 40%, over 40% in the last 48 hours. Why is Bitcoin seeing this breakout that no one was expecting? Well, first and foremost, we have to look at the fundamentals. If you understand what's happening here with institutions, you will get a very good insight on what's occurring behind the scenes. And as you can see with this article, it says here, Bakkt Bitcoin trading volume sets new record after flash crash. Now, this is what initially dropped Bitcoin's price, and it wasn't a surprise because last year in 2017, when Bitcoin hit 20,000, it was the futures launch that went ahead and dropped Bitcoin's price. But you can see here, it says institutional investors are in a hurry to buy the cryptocurrency at a discounted price. About 2 hours before this flash crash, Bakkt Volume Bot said that trading volume was only going to be 8 Bitcoin. It anticipated a total of 58 Bitcoin till the end of the day, but that's definitely not what happened. Look what it says here. The flash crash raised investors' appetite so much that the volume on Bakkt exceeded the daily forecast by about 5 times in less than 2 hours. Shortly after the drop in Bitcoin's price, institutions took note of this and jumped into the market, and the Bakkt Volume Bot announced that the daily volume reached 296 Bitcoin versus 8 Bitcoin, right? And now it's forecasting over 1,000 Bitcoin. Why is this important? It shows you that not only is this market actually being used by institutions as a hedge against traditional markets, but it's a very, very volatile asset class that these institutions are still fine investing in and putting liquidity in, being the fact that it is an option for them. And what's very interesting is after this volume exceeded all-time highs, it says here, Bakkt announces the launch of Bitcoin options in December. Now you can see if we look here, this is going to be the first platform to launch a regulated Bitcoin's option contract on Bitcoin futures. Why is this important? Well, understand that ETFs all of this year have been denied by the SEC, but there have never been regulated Bitcoin options. So it makes sense why ETFs have been denied. Now, typically, when a market is being created, first you want to see options and then ETFs come after that. Now, options are being announced in the end of this year by Bakkt. Therefore, in 2020, I think it's going to be crucial for Bitcoin, being the fact that it's maturing in a way that it's never matured before. Now, you can see this breakout of over 40% was extremely different than anything we've ever seen in Bitcoin's past. If we look at the previous bear market after Bitcoin hit that $20,000 mark in 2017, you can see there was never one point in time that the price action went above all three moving averages, but this time it did. And there is a big reason for that. And in my opinion, it's because institutions are now in this market a lot more than they were in 2017 and 18. And so we've got very strong volume here. And what's going to matter at this point is for this death cross where you see this 50-day moving average crossing over that 200-day moving average. We need that 50-day moving average to start curving back up. And I think this is the bull's last chance for allowing Bitcoin to consolidate at higher highs without the chance of a further drop. And so the biggest question at this point is, will Bitcoin be able to maintain its strong support at that $9,200 level? Because that's the level in which we want to watch to determine that this is a real breakout and it's not just market manipulation. Now, a way that you could have predicted this breakout is by looking at gold. If you guys are a part of our free Discord, we are posting daily market updates. For those of you that just don't have the time to always watch videos, you can see we predicted the majority of these movements. You can see I posted here a couple days ago about Bitcoin dominance heading towards the apex of its pennant and then possibly going to break out, as we've seen great altcoin trades over the last few weeks. If you guys are looking at our signals, for those of you that are part of our premium group, we do send out signals. We've had an amazing time with altcoins, but I don't think that's going to last. And that's something I talked about in our last video. And I think this is the possible end to this quote unquote altcoin cycle, because when we pull up altcoin charts, you're going to see a lot of these altcoins are just not doing that well. And so for those of you that are in our Discord getting our market updates, you know, we posted this Bitcoin dominance update. And then what was also interesting is right before this Bitcoin breakout, I posted an update for gold showing the fact that gold was heading towards the resistance of its symmetrical triangle and that it was possibly going to break out. We actually had a 100 pip trade set in place here that succeeded very well. And shortly after that is when Bitcoin broke out. So what that shows you, in my opinion, is as we start to see traditional markets like the S&P 500, you can see at another all-time high, start to see a little bit less investor confidence. We're seeing the liquidity from these institutions flow back into these hedges, like these traditional storage of value assets, such as gold and now Bitcoin. And so you can see the S&P 500 at this triple top here, approaching this new all-time high. Investors are most likely realizing this is not just going to continue to go up, as we've already been in an over 10-year bull run, and therefore they're being a lot more cautious about when these price levels are at these levels. They want to make sure their funds are safe. And you can see that's exactly when we saw this breakout with gold as well, out of that major resistance. And now the biggest question is, are we going to be able to maintain these levels? Now, one thing I want you to realize is if gold starts to see any more downside, Bitcoin will most likely correlate with that. And so I think at this point in the market, you have to be extremely cautious and be patient, because after moves like this, you have to see where is price action going to consolidate in order to determine future price action, as this was a fundamental move more than it was a technical move. So we're going to be taking some questions from our live audience. This is, we have Stephen Kennedy, Rock, Joe Jackson, Joshua Stephen on. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you guys want to win this book, make sure to like this video, and I will be asking a question at the end of this live stream for one of you to get this book, one of Warren Buffett's favorite books on investing. And I want to also go through some very important headlines here, but just realize that what we're seeing right now is very positive for this market, because traditionally, when we look at the previous death cross that occurred in 2017, we did see a breakout right before this death cross, but it was nowhere as near as violent as the breakout we saw over the last 24 hours. You can see the breakout that we saw last year during the bear market after that death cross was only about 27%. You can see this is where that 50-day and that 200-day moving average crossed, and we saw an initial breakout of about 27% here before we saw the initial drop to a lower level, where Bitcoin eventually saw some very good support and consolidation, and it pretty much set the bottom for Bitcoin before Bitcoin saw that $3,400 level for a very short amount of time, in which institutions were able to accumulate pretty quick, and that's when we eventually saw the rally back up. But never during this bear market did Bitcoin do what it did in the last 48 hours, which is go back above all three moving averages. And I think it's because the overall market in general is a lot different than it was in 2017, not just with cryptocurrencies, but with traditional markets, as well as the overall world economic perspective when looking at the US-China trade war right now and things of that nature. So you can see right now with Bitcoin, yes, we saw this amazing breakout to the upside, but the biggest question at this point is, are we going to be able to stay above that $9,200 level where we have that volume? You can see here, there's that initial volume here of around, right at that $9,200 mark. And so, you know, we really want to see that consolidation before determining where price action will be headed. And so when we look at Bitcoin dominance, it followed the exact pattern that we predicted in our Discord. It broke out of that major resistance level. And I think what's also interesting, and this could help a lot of you guys, is looking at gold and Bitcoin's dominance, because I'm seeing a lot more correlations with Bitcoin dominance in gold than just Bitcoin and gold. And Bitcoin is definitely following gold, as gold has already broken all-time highs since 2014, the same way Bitcoin went from 3,400 all the way back up to over almost 14,000. But, you know, what's more correlated, in my opinion, is the Bitcoin dominance chart with gold, because you can see Bitcoin dominance went just above that 50-day moving average, while gold actually saw some resistance at that 50-day moving average, but it also went right above that 50-day moving average and then quickly went back down below it. And so another big indicator that I think is important to watch here is going to be gold's reaction to this 50-day moving average, and if it's going to be able to see the 50-day moving average act as support or resistance. At this point, it is resistance. However, that could quickly change as traditional markets like the S&P 500 are at these highs. And in the past, you can see it's already touched this level three times. The two times that it's touched it in the past, it's seen a major drop of over 5%. And so that's quite significant when it comes to traditional markets that are not necessarily moving more than a half a percent a day. And so when we also look at the NASDAQ, you can see it's not necessarily seeing the type of strength the S&P 500 is seeing, and therefore it's also showing some weakness with traditional markets. And a lot of companies like Amazon recently announced earnings, and they didn't meet investor expectations, and Amazon saw a huge drop recently. I think over the last 48 hours, it actually took Jeff Bezos from being the number one richest person in the world to $5 billion away from Bill Gates. And, you know, there's an expectation that Bill Gates will take that number one position once again because of how much Amazon shares have dropped. And so when you start to see these type of companies see these sell-offs, that's an indication that the traditional markets are just not in a healthy area right now. And I think that's why institutions are taking note of some of these other storage of value assets, such as Bitcoin and gold, Bitcoin being the newest asset in the market, the new player on the block. And I think that's what's most interesting about where Bitcoin is positioned right now. So what's also really cool here is when we try to see some sort of market structure to see what's forming here. When we look at this trend line here, you've got this descending resistance level here that was also broken by this wick. And so just because we wicked into these levels doesn't mean it's going to maintain itself. And that's why I'm saying it's extremely important right now to be patient to see, is this market structure going to be able to maintain itself? So for those of you that are in our Discord, if you guys want to receive those daily updates to your phone, the link is in the description below. It's a free Discord to join, and our market updates are posted on a daily basis, and it's where we predict these type of movements. But I would highly recommend staying in tune with gold's chart alongside Bitcoin's chart. And another cool part about what's happening right now is not only are we seeing this amazing price action with Bitcoin, but transactions per day, which is a very important indicator for Bitcoin in a fundamental sense, is also starting to maintain these levels above 300,000 transactions per day. And you can see at its peak in 2017, it hit 490,000 transactions per day. And at its peak for this new bull market, it went around 450,000 transactions per day. But the difference is we're maintaining over 300,000 transactions per day versus just seeing a huge fallout, which eventually led to that bear market of 2018. And so looking at the fundamentals, we're seeing a very good sign for Bitcoin. But when we look at altcoins, it's just not necessarily the case. And this is something we talked about in our last video, where we talked about all of the success that we had in our premium signal group for our crypto signals, we were seeing 30, 40, 50% gains, as you can see in our signal group with altcoins. And that was just not the case a couple months ago. So it was really a 2 to 3 month cycle of altcoins. But now I think this cycle could be over. As you can see, altcoins have been decimated after this huge Bitcoin move. So a big question for altcoins is it going to continue to see a cycle? And I think the one indicator for that is to realize, okay, now that Bitcoin has made its move, will any of these altcoins follow? And so at this point, the majority of our analysts at Traders Profit Club are watching the major altcoins to see which ones are most likely going to see movements following this Bitcoin move, because there's also going to be opportunities with some of these altcoins. You can see some of the ones that are performing quite well right now during this Bitcoin move is Bitcoin Cash, only 2% down. You can see it saw a pretty good pump up here. You can see another one performing quite well here. EOS, only 6% down, but for the majority of the other ones, over 10% downside, some of them over 20% downside here. You can see Ethereum just around 9%. When we look at these altcoin charts in comparison to Bitcoin, they are just not looking well. So for those of you expecting this altcoin cycle, it's really just going to be a matter of are any of these altcoins going to be able to follow this major Bitcoin movement. You can see Ethereum still at these lows. When we pull up XRP, BTC also at these lows. You can see here as well with LTC, BTC forming a new low here as well. And so Bitcoin is the only one right now showing its strength, and that is clearly defined when we look at Bitcoin dominance, which is showing great price action here. And in my opinion, Bitcoin has proven itself over the last few months as being king of this market. So I think it's just super interesting to me that Bitcoin dominance is following the gold chart very closely. You can see it wicked right above that 50-day moving average, saw push back down. Same thing with Bitcoin dominance. So what does this mean for the short term? I think that's a great question too, right? And I'm going to take some of the questions from the live audience. I see we have a ton of questions here. Stephen Kennedy, Rock, Nadish, Asim on. Good to have you guys. Remember, we're going to be giving away this book, Warren Buffett's favorite book on investing, to one of you guys. Just like the video in order to participate, and we will be asking that question at the end of this live stream. But based on what happened with gold, which did break out before Bitcoin, it saw an immediate push back down. And so if you were to ask me in the short term, do you think Bitcoin is just going to continue to go up and see 11,000 and 12,000? I very highly doubt that that will happen. As a matter of fact, I don't believe that's going to happen. I think most likely we will see a push back down. And what that means is if Bitcoin dominance sees a push back down below this 50-day moving average, that's a lot of room for altcoins to see a push up. And so that's why our analysts are watching altcoins right now. You know, I've been in this market for 10 plus years now. And in order for us to understand this market, you have to understand the overall picture. And the biggest thing you need to realize is Bitcoin is the one asset that's proven itself, and these other asset classes are just not necessarily proving themselves when it comes to use case. And so one depiction of that before we start taking live audience is you can see here, you can now pay with Bitcoin, Ethereum, or Litecoin on Amazon using an app. Why is this important? Well, understand mass adoption. You can see here, Miami Airport gets first Bitcoin ATM machine, Miami being one of the most visited airports in the world. This all correlates to mass adoption. This is what institutions want. They want to see mass adoption. And in my opinion, when we look at a traditional mass adoption cycle, we are currently in this area of early market adopters, and we're heading towards that peak because Amazon itself isn't accepting Bitcoin, but an app was just released. Now, for the first time ever, you can pay with cryptocurrencies on Amazon, right? Why is that important? It's just more and more steps towards us seeing a more mass adopted market for Bitcoin. And understand, everything here correlates, because Bakkt, once again, seeing all-time highs when it comes to trading volume, a day later announces it's going to start doing option contracts, one of the first regulated exchanges to announce that. And as we know, we've been fighting to get an ETF approved when we haven't even gotten options approved, right? And so we need to go step by step. The government just doesn't work the way that everyone wants it to, where it's just a quick adoption. If you want to know the state of the government, one of my mentors told me this. He said, walk into your local DMV. That's the state of our current government, right? Long wait lines, Very inefficient systems, old technology, old computers, and a ton of paperwork. It's the same thing that happens, when it comes to this brand new market trying to create, you know, mass change in the world. It's going to take time, but I think we're slowly moving step by step towards a more adopted marketplace for Bitcoin. So Stephen Kennedy says, hang tough, golden Bitcoin will skyrocket. It may not be this year, but the Fed's keeping our U.S. prop up will only last so long. XRP and BAT will go through the roof in the near future. I wouldn't say that, in my opinion. You know, the altcoins, I'm less confident in. But yes, the Fed's printed over $150 billion recently. That's even more than Bitcoin's total market cap, right? These are not good signs for our economy here. So let's see here if we have any questions here for those of you that are in our audience. Josh Stephen Ward asked a great question here. What's your thoughts on shorting this right now? Here's my opinion with this. We don't necessarily know what this move means in the long term or even the medium term. In the short term, we know what it means, which is the fact that this move is allowing Bitcoin to see a lot more room for correction, right? So now that we've seen this breakout to 10,500, we have the opportunity for this death cross to take place without as much of a violent push down, right? Because if the death cross took place at 7,400, then 6,800 would have definitely been the next price target, right? But now that we've seen the bulls come in and prove themselves once again, taking Bitcoin up over 40% in the last 48 hours, it's given Bitcoin that room for breathing. And so now that if this death cross does occur in its entirety, which it will occur if we start to head below 9,000, the reason being is this 200-day moving average just doesn't move as fast as the 50-day moving average. But if the 50-day moving average wants to see any more of a curve back up, we need to maintain levels above that $9,000 mark, because that's going to allow the 50-day moving average to not fully cross over that 100-day moving or that 200-day moving average, allowing for us to see a better chance of a continued uptrend. But I think, you know, we just have to be a little bit more patient. And the reason I say that is because when you look at the S&P 500 chart, this is a traditional market. It's currently at an all-time high right now. It actually, you know, it pretty much broke another all-time high, but it just didn't go past the previous two highs, right? So it's not going to take more than a couple days, you know, of business days, not, you know, Saturday and Sunday, obviously, but it's going to take a couple more days. It's interesting, right? Because what is it, Friday heading into Saturday and Sunday? So, you know, now that we're heading till, you know, into the weekend, you know, we just need to be a little bit more. And you know, it's funny to me that this all happens on Friday, because it's traditional market manipulation at the end of the day. You see these puppet masters trying their best to control this market, but that's not necessarily a bad thing if you understand what the market is all about. That's why reading these type of books like The Intelligent Investor is extremely important, to understand market cycles, understand the previous history, you know, of the traditional markets, to see how is Bitcoin going to act as a global market, being the only global market, in my opinion, with the type of reach that it has, because there's just not any other market that can be traded as easily as Bitcoin when it comes to the global perspective, because Bitcoin can be traded in South America, Europe, North America, Central America, Africa. It can be traded anywhere, unlike other markets. And so that's why we're also seeing extreme volatility when it does make its movements. But the cool part about it is you can look at correlating assets like gold to predict these type of movements, which is something that we're really big on in our Discord group. For those of you that are a part of it, once again, in our Discord group, I post all of these market updates, and we predicted this Bitcoin dominance push up in one of our market updates a couple days ago. You can see here, we also predicted that push back up towards that $10,000 level as well. So for those of you that want those quick updates, our Discord link is in the description. There's a mobile, web, and desktop version, a great place to get your information. But we only need a couple more days to understand what's really happening, because here's the thing. There's only two things that could happen right now with the S&P 500, which is a big market that a lot of institutions watch, and a lot of mutual funds and hedge funds have a lot invested into this market. It's the fact that, are we going to continue to see new highs? Is it going to break past that $3,030 level and continue up? Or is it going to see more resistance here, confirming a triple top, which could be possibly bad for this traditional market. Therefore, seeing liquidity flow towards these storage of value assets like gold and like Bitcoin. So it's the two scenarios here. Will the S&P 500, and it's not just the S&P 500, but I'd like to use this as an example because it is a major market and it's also showing great market structure to understand the fact that we are at a critical point right now. And in my opinion, it is a part of the reason why Bitcoin broke out, right? Traditional market goes to an all-time high. Investors don't want to lose money. Institutions don't want to lose money, right? So they're like, okay, well, we're either going to go and hedge towards cash or we can hedge towards another asset. Oh, well, guess what? Bitcoin's at $7,000. It's already over 40% down in the last couple of weeks. This is a good place to put money. Let's go ahead and dump it in there as we wait to find out, is the S&P going to continue up or down, right? If it continues up, great. It sees a breakout, then it sees a push back down, just like traditional technical analysis, and we make an entry and we're good to go, right? Or it continues down and we start to see more and more liquidity flow into gold. Gold's been correlating with Bitcoin dominance. Bitcoin dominance correlates with Bitcoin, and we see Bitcoin see more price action to the upside, right? So understand that what's happening right now, what couldn't have been predicted, and you know, through technical analysis, this was a fully fundamental move, in my opinion. And once again, it's never happened in a bear market that we've seen this type of breakout in such a short amount of time, not only take us above one moving average or two moving averages, but we went below all three moving averages to above all three moving averages in less than 48 hours. So Mark B says, do you think it's possible that institutional money was waiting to take a short-term loss in this pump for the purpose of maintaining Bitcoin's long-term health, limiting death X, maintaining high or low? Mark, that's an amazing question. I think that's exactly the case. I think institutions, they let Bitcoin do what it need, you know, they let it do what it needed to do. That's why we saw this major volume. See, this type of volume that we saw, that sell-off here, September 22nd, 2019, when we saw that big drop, 40% almost for Bitcoin, was institutional volume. There's no type of retail volume that is going to peak at this type of high. You can see this breakout right now, we're seeing great volume. Is it necessarily as big as the volume that we saw here? No, but that's not a bad thing because of the divergence we're seeing here. You can see the initial pop that brought Bitcoin to this new high from this new bull market was a lot more significant than the sell volume that came shortly afterwards. But now we're seeing some strong volume here. So in my opinion, once again, what we need to watch is for the consolidation above that $9,000 to $9,200 level for us to not see the completion of this death cross, because today was the day it was supposed to cross. And at the end of the day, the puppet masters said, we're not letting this happen. And it makes sense because all of the markets here are correlating in a very unique fashion. But the best part about it is it's doing it in the way it's supposed to, right? Whenever there's traditional market uncertainty and there's a possibility of a next recession or some downside, right? We've been a 10-year bull cycle. What's the move? Traditionally, it's to hedge to gold. Well, gold isn't the only storage of value asset that's out right now. Another thing that I actually heard from another mentor of mine, you know, being the fact that I advise now, I think, what is it, 9 blockchain companies. I was at an event and I was with one of the big time founders, Brock Pierce, who did EOS. And he talked about how Bitcoin is the only asset in the world right now that not only acts as a storage of value, but a volatile asset class. And so that's a very unique dynamic for Bitcoin that isn't present with other storage of value assets like gold, which is just a storage of value. It's not a volatile asset class, right? Or traditional markets, which are just a volatile asset class and not a storage of value. And so when Brock Pierce said that, it made so much sense to me that if we see this next recession, which the markets will go up and down, there's no market that just continues up. If you read in The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham, he talks about market cycles. If you read Principles by Ray Dalio, he talks about 10 to 12 year market cycles. You watch any Warren Buffett interview, one of the most successful investors in the market, he talks about ups and downs. You listen to Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's business partner, Berkshire Hathaway, one of the largest funds in the world. What do they talk about? Market corrections, market cycles, right? So we've been in this over 10-year bull cycle for the traditional markets. and it's time for institutions to start looking for hedges. Why not hedge into not only a storage of value asset, but an asset that also acts as a volatile asset for the institutions that have a little bit more of a risk tolerated strategy? And so that's what it's all about here. It's, you know, at the end of the day, realize this, the fact that Bakkt trading volume saw a flash crash and then saw the highest volume it's ever seen is a proven fact that institutions were waiting for a good time to get into Bitcoin before putting liquidity into the market. Why did it see a flash crash at that time? Maybe it's the puppet masters letting institutions and maybe almost trying to guide institutions to use Bitcoin as an asset class. And then the day after that, Bakkt says, hey, we're going to be announcing options contracts. Well, guess what? That's a huge deal because it's the first time that a regulated Bitcoin options contract will be on with Bitcoin futures. And so what does that mean for the whole market in general? Well, it's one step closer to ETFs, and that's something we've been waiting for. And every single ETF proposal has been denied by the SEC over the last year. And so, you know, even with CoinWise submitting all of this paperwork and documentation, trying to legitimize Bitcoin with the SEC as an asset that could be traded as an ETF, they still denied it. And they said it's just not seen to them as a asset that could be, you know, an ETF. I mean, and it makes sense. There's no asset that just went from being an asset to an ETF. No, it's always been asset options ETF. And so that's traditional. That's what we need to wait for. And so, that's why, you know, a year ago when we started to add our Forex and stock signals to our signal group here, it was a big move for us because I realized that all these markets are working simultaneously with each other. You can see right before this Bitcoin breakout yesterday, I posted a buy stop for gold at 1505 that hit two targets, resulting in over 100 pip gains. Shortly after that, we saw Bitcoin pump up. Unfortunately, we didn't post the signal for Bitcoin from this pump in our group just because of the fact that it was, you know, a very risky time to get into Bitcoin with that death cross. And when you're a trader, you just don't necessarily want to take high risk trades. You want to be very cautious and conservative with how you trade and the type of risk and reward ratio that's present. And so fortunately we caught gold, but the other part about that is if you were keeping up with our market updates in our Discord, we did talk about Bitcoin dominance slowly creeping towards the end of that apex and most likely going to see a breakout, which we talked about was going to be the time that we saw Bitcoin see a breakout. We didn't expect it to be as significant. However, I don't think any analyst, and I want to ask any of you guys on the live stream, were there any analysts that you guys know of, any news articles, any YouTuber that you know of that predicted this exact breakout? I would love to know that because, you know, it really takes a very good fundamental analyst to be able to predict things like this because it just wasn't technical. And so I'd love to hear that here. Tony May says, adding on to that, do you think institutional money waited for strong enough news, blockchain announcements, time to a huge pump rallying the rest of the money on the sidelines? I don't think it was necessarily them waiting for an announcement. I think it was more so the fact of them waiting for gold to see the initial pump up, because here's what's happening with institutions. There's some in March of 2019 this year, for the first time ever, Cambridge Analytics, which provides investment recommendations to over $300 billion in managed assets, for the first time included cryptocurrency and Bitcoin as a asset they recommend putting a certain portion of long-term investments into, being the fact that it's grown itself and proven itself to be a legitimate global asset class. And so when that happened in March of 2019, it doesn't mean that it was, you know, and that was kind of when the bull market started as well, which, you know, is something we talked about on this channel back in that time frame. But it doesn't mean that all of the institutions just go and they start investing into Bitcoin. There's a lot of compliance work that needs to be done. And so there are very few institutions right now that have the opportunity to put any sort of liquidity, any sort of their capital into Bitcoin or even trade future contracts for Bitcoin. However, what's interesting about that is instead of watching just Bitcoin's price action or waiting for a news announcement, understand that gold is an asset that all of these institutions have the ability to trade. So when you watch something like gold, which has been very closely correlated to Bitcoin over the last few months, if not the last year, then you can determine where institutional money will head towards and understand that when institutional money head towards Bitcoin, it's not just US institutional money. It's money from Dubai. It's money from the Middle East. It's money from Europe. It's money from the US, right? So when that happens, you see a more significant breakout. That's why it was over 40% in comparison to a couple percent like gold. But gold was the indicator. So I think they were looking at more so what was most closely correlated to Bitcoin to then predict that, okay, this is showing us that more and more institutions around the world are putting liquidity into gold. It's the right time to put liquidity into Bitcoin. So hopefully that answers your question here. I do want to ask a question here as well and give away this book for one of you guys watching this live stream. And I will ship this book out to you tomorrow. So here's the question. I talked about the company that sends out investment recommendations to some of these large funds. What is the name of that company? For whoever answers that question, you will win this book. And make sure to like the video if you guys want to participate in this to ensure that you guys can get this book sent out to you. And it definitely supports our stream here. But we want to give that away before we wrap up. And I'll take another question here as well right before that here. Asim says, where BTC will land if Death Cross will happen? Very good question here. So I talked about this earlier. This breakout has given Bitcoin a lot of breathing room for this Death Cross to still happen and for it to not be as violent of a breakdown, right? So if we saw this Death Cross occur at 7,400, we were already watching that $6,800 level, being the fact that you can see here on this volume chart, there's a lot of volume to hold us there. But now that we've seen this breakout to the upside, it's given Bitcoin a lot more room to see the Death Cross and still act fine after the Death Cross. Now, here's what's more important, in my opinion, than where Bitcoin will be after a Death Cross. It's the fact that, is the Death Cross going to happen? Because if the Death Cross happens, yes, we will most likely see downside. Yes, we will most likely go down to, I would say, initially that $8,000 mark would be where we first hit because there's tons of volume there. But there's that potential for us to even go down to 6,900 because you can see when we look at this previous Death Cross, which occurred right here, we did see a breakout first. It was only 27%. It wasn't over 40%. But after that Death Cross, it did see a new low. It went back up, saw a great rally up. This was probably about 40 or 50%. But then it went back to that previous low after that Death Cross. And then that low acted as the low for a very long time before we saw this accumulation zone. And that accumulation zone here was where smart money came in and it allowed Bitcoin to then step right back into its bull market. And so if you look at what happened here, this was the start to that Death Cross, but it took this long for that Death Cross to finally see a golden cross, which was the opposite, where the 50 goes back over the 200 and that bull run start. So if that occurs, I think the most important part here is to realize that, is this going to happen? If it does happen, well, there is a possible period of time that we're going to consolidate between that $6,000 to $9,000 range and possibly see a wick down to $5,000 before we start to see any more upside. But I think that what we're seeing here is the puppet masters in this market showing us that possibly there won't be a Death Cross here. And the reason I say that is this was a very violent move up. It just doesn't happen out of nowhere. There's intention. You can tell there's intention. And do you guys agree with me, for those of you that are live here? If you agree with me that there was intention with this breakout, say I in the live chat. I'd love to see who here agrees with me because, you know, a 40% breakout in less than 48 hours, it shows that there's something happening here that is, you know, there's a statement trying to be made. And another part of that is the fact that we've, in our previous bear markets, never have went above all three moving averages after going below all three moving averages. You can see the closest that we got to that was here in February of 2018, where yes, we went below all three moving averages, but we were only able to find resistance at the 100-day, and it was such a violent move up, but it still showed that there was going to be continued downside. This time, it happened completely different. The death cross was about to happen. It, in my opinion, did happen, but the puppet master said, no. There's intention here. We don't want this to happen yet. And so I think there's a high possibility. I think there's a 60% chance here that we're not going to go back below that $9,000 to $9,200 level. We may see some consolidation at this zone. This will allow that 50-day to not fully cross over that 100 or that 200-day, initiating that possible 6 to 12 month consolidation slash bear market. And that allowing us to then see more price action between that $10,000 and $14,000 level. And guess what? By the time this happens in December, we're going to see options come out. Not only that, you can see Amazon. You can now pay with Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin. The Miami airport, one of the most visited airports in the world, gets its first Bitcoin ATM. Why is that important, by the way? Well, guess what? You've got people from India. You've got people from China. You've got people from Europe all coming to America, Miami being one of the most visited airports in America behind LAX and Atlanta. What are they going to do? Hey, I don't need to go to this foreign transaction booth and try to, you know, get my rupees and turn it into dollars. I've got Bitcoin. I've been using Bitcoin. Why don't I just go to this Bitcoin ATM? And what did we start creating? We start creating mass adoption. And I think when we look at this chart, you know, when I first started this YouTube channel 2 years ago, I talked about how we were right at the area here of visionaries, right? Where we had Vitalik Buterin, we had Roger Ver, we had Brock Pierce, all these visionaries in the market. And I talked about how we were in the, you know, the start of crossing this chasm. And it was really a matter of, are we going to be able to cross this chasm? 2017 and 18 happened, over $20,000 Bitcoin. That crossed the chasm. Over the last couple of, over the last 2 years, what has happened, in my opinion, we've slowly crept up and up and up. Guess what's going to happen when we reach this peak here? Bitcoin's price is not going to be at $3,000. It's not going to be at $5,000. This means a lot more people are using Bitcoin, and the more people that are using Bitcoin will result in a way higher price because it's a storage of value asset. It's not a currency. A lot of people, they act as if it's a currency. I was watching this interview by the Wolf of Wall Street, and he's so adamant about Bitcoin not being a legitimate asset class. He's like, oh, it's like those penny stocks that I defrauded investors by when I was younger and, you know, defrauded over $100 million of investors. Yeah, great person to get advice from, huh? No, he's got it wrong. He kept referring to Bitcoin as a currency. It's not a currency. It's a storage of value. And as Brock Pierce said, somebody that's actually been in this market for years and years and years has contributed to this market, has developed EOS, right? When I was sitting right at a fireside chat with him at an event, I heard him say it. Guess what, guys? Bitcoin, it's not just a storage of value. It's also a volatile asset. There's no other asset class like that in the world. How does this all correlate to what we're talking about? Bitcoin transactions per day, maintaining over 300,000 transactions per day. We've never seen Bitcoin maintain transactions per day at these levels, even at that $20,000 Bitcoin. It peaked out higher than we peaked out at this bull run, but who said this was the end to this bull run, right? So understanding all of these fundamentals and perspectives, in my opinion, there was intention behind this move. It seems like a lot of you guys agree with me. Jesus Gonzalez, Hector, Edwin, Mark B, Alex, Mike, Face Value, Tibor, all says I. One Solo Dolo, Alvine say agree 100%. So let's see who wins this book, The Intelligent Investor. For those of you that want to participate, make sure to like this video. I'm going to be giving away this book to one of you guys that answered the question correctly here. I asked the question, what is the institution that provides investment research, recommendations to $300 billion in managed assets? And I said Cambridge Analytics here. Cameron Varney, he's actually a member in our premium group, I think. Congratulations here. I see you said Cambridge Analytics. Jesus Gonzalez said Vanguard, Goldman Sachs. Vanguard, if you've got money that you want to just keep in, you know, an account and not have to touch ever and not trade, I would open up a Vanguard account, put it into a target date index fund, and you'll be good to go. You know, that's, you know, that type of money you don't put into an asset, in my opinion, like, you don't put all that money into an asset like Bitcoin, where now you're exposed to this volatile asset. No, you want to put that into something that's proven itself over the last 100 years. You know, the S&P 500 as a whole, the stock market as a whole, has returned over 10% minus 3% inflation, let's say 7% a year over the last 100 years, without any, you know, there's no, you know, hole in that fact. That's a fact. You want to go and look at markets? We'll go look at markets. If you put money into the stock market in the 90s, you know, you've gotten 7% of average returns, even after the 2008 crisis, even after the, you know, every single crisis you can think of. So understanding the different ways to invest is important. So Cameron, go ahead and send me your information on Discord, and we'll go ahead and get you that book. I'll also give away another book here to whoever, you know, let's say, you know, maybe I'll give you guys some, you know, for one of you guys that join our Discord, I'll actually give you guys a book as well, because I think that the Discord is an undervalued asset that a lot of people don't realize is where most of our members are able to stay up to date with the market on the go, not have to watch videos. You can see we posted this Bitcoin dominance breakout before it happened. We posted the gold breakout before it happened. We talked about Bitcoin breaking out with gold if gold were to break out. So all of this was predicted. And then on top of that, if you're a part of our premium group, you're getting our signals, right? All of our crypto signals, all of our BitMEX signals. And why is that important? Well, understand that there's market cycles, right? So, you know, for those of you that are part of our premium group, I don't think we're going to be posting as much altcoin signals. We had almost, you know, a 2-month spree of just crazy altcoin trades. But I think right now we will put up that 24 to 48 hour expiration on those trades and focus more in on our BitMEX signals. Right now, our team of analysts are focused on altcoins. What I told them was, understand that the altcoins right now, some of them are going to follow this big Bitcoin move. Right now, you see all of these altcoins down, some of them will follow. And so we want to find that first and before anyone and make sure our premium group gets that. And even if you're not a part of the premium group, we post free signals in the free signals chat. It's just not all of them, but we do post all of our results, including our stops. So the link is in the description, our Discord. I will be looking at one of the new members here. You can see we've already got Laura here, Joel Nicholas that joined. So I'll pick one of you guys at the end of this live stream and give away another book. This is Warren Buffett's favorite book. But I do want to take more questions. This is a very critical time in the market. You know, it's an exciting time. And I think it's important to understand what's happening right now, because for those of you that don't, then, you know, you'll be an uneducated investor. And that's just the worst part of investing, right? It's when you're not understanding what you're investing in. Larson says, Satoshi says Bitcoin was designed to be a digital cryptocurrency. We understand that, yes, it was designed to be a digital cryptocurrency and a currency. However, with, you know, the technology that was, built in 2008 and 9 with Bitcoin, it's just not feasible right now, because it's seen way more adoption than it was proposed to see. And the network itself just can't handle it. What's interesting, though, is this Amazon article where Amazon is now accepting cryptocurrency through an app. It's not the actual official Amazon, but once again, it's just one step more towards mass adoption. It's interesting because they're using the Lightning Network, as you can see in the article. And so the Lightning Network will definitely help as a platform built on top of the original blockchain of Bitcoin. But at the end of the day, Bitcoin itself, if you ask the majority of people, hey, what do you think of Bitcoin? They're like, oh yeah, that's that thing that you buy and you hold and it, you know, gets you a Lamborghini, right? So when people's mindset is a storage of value, it's going to act as a storage of value. So it was meant to be a currency, but it's a lot more than that. And I think that's one of the cool dynamics about Bitcoin. It's the fact that it's a storage of value, but it's also a storage of value that you can send across the world within seconds. Right? So, you know, unless the network's clogged up, then it might take a couple minutes or a couple days. You know, at one point it did take a couple days, but for the most part, it shouldn't take that long. There's tons of projects that are, you know, attempting to, you know, fix that. And, you know, right now, one of the companies that I advise, you know, Blockchain BTM, you know, they are a blockchain ATM company. They're doing very well. We're actually starting to expand our ATMs right now as well. So for those of you that are interested in any of that, you know, I advise, like, you know, a lot of different companies in different areas, institutional exchanges, ATM companies, you know, wallets like the Monarch wallet, you know, amazing wallet where, you know, they're allowing for atomic swaps and just, you know, a lot of great projects out there. But at the end of the day, you have to realize that the projects that are really going to see momentum are the ones that have use case. And right now, when you look at total cryptocurrency use case, we're seeing a lot of great use case with Bitcoin. Why? It's been around the longest, right? You go around, you ask somebody, you ever heard of Bitcoin? One out of three people will say yes. You ask somebody, you heard of Ethereum or Ripple? They're like, what's that? You know, that's just not going to see the type of use case that Bitcoin's going to see until it crosses that cycle of mass adoption. And so, you know, this is a very important chart here. It's the technology mass adoption cycle. There's a great book called Chasing the Chasm that talks about this. And so I'd highly recommend it. It's a marketing book, but it does apply to technologies. You know, it's meant to be a technology adoption cycle. However, it was altered for that book to, you know, give its perspective and correlate that with marketing. Alex DePini says, sorry for saying your last name wrong. BTC is giving power to the people, and the concept of decentralization can be adopted for the incredible growth problem it's solving and empowering people globally. I 100% agree with that. You know, Brock Pierce is, you know, a lot of people, they see him as a controversial person, right? They're like, oh yeah, he was accused for rape when he was younger or something like that. And all of these different things. He was a child actor and all these, you know, understand this. At the end of the day, child actors are usually the ones that have the most mental issues, you know, at that time of their life, because when you give a child a lot of money, you know, I live here in Hollywood, California. I've got a penthouse here. I see all of these influencers, all of these, you know, children that make millions of dollars, you know, oh, I'm on the Disney Channel. You know, they get really mentally screwed in the head. And it, you know, you can see, you know, Justin Bieber recently posted an article about his mental health and talked about being a child star and how it really affects you, because you give a child millions of dollars, you know, you give most adults, you know, 40 and up $1 million, they're going to blow that $1 million next year. You know, most of them don't even know how to properly manage the $1 million, right? You give $1 million and they're like, okay, what do I do with this? Well, by the time they find out, they're already getting taxed on it, and they get $400,000 right off the top taxed, and then they don't know what to invest in. They, you know, put money into this business their friend told them about. They go online, they, you know, get scammed on an email and they lose $100 there. They buy Bitcoin at all time highs because they're not educated in investors, they lose that money there, and the next thing you know, they lose $1 million. Versus, okay, I understand how this economy works. What do I do with $1 million? If I received $1 million lump sum right now, what would I do? Well, I would probably take 80-90% of that and put that in a long-term investment brokerage. I open up a brokerage account at Fidelity or Charles Schwab or Vanguard, right? I put in a target date index fund. Why? It's long-term. You can set the date and it invests in the full market, and the market has always proven itself. 7% returns after inflations year after year for over 100 years. So, you know, are you just going to dump it all into Bitcoin? No, but you take that 10%. And what I would do as a trader, being a trader for almost 10 years now, is I would take that 10% and I would trade it. Because guess what? You can take that 10% and make that 20% of your portfolio if you know how to perform with your trades. And then from there, you take that 10%, put that into a long-term hold, and just keep utilizing 10% for more risky investments versus just trying to put it all into something that you hope is going to get you something, right? No, hope is not a good strategy, in my opinion. So, you know, just understanding that is important. Larson says, or I think we read that one here. Jesus Gonzalez says, the number of noobs getting squeezed out of their positions continues to climb. Yeah, I think over 200 million in longs were liquidated from that flash drop. And guess how many shorts were probably liquidated from the pop back up, right? So you just got to be careful. You know, that's why a big part of our group, when we're in our signals, I think it's really important to understand this. I talk about this. Always trail stops and profit or break even. Maximize positions with best possible entries. Catch wicks when you can. Ladder in positions. Market order smallest positions. Ladder out profits. Assess risk on your own. Use the signals as confirmation. Focus on price action, market structure, overall trend on higher time frames. All these things matter. You know, I'm going to be honest, we did lose a couple trades here from this big pop. You know, I had an ADA long and we lost 2% on that one. But we also had a TRX long that hit target right before the drop. But you know, I'm always assessing risk in the market. I know we had one crypto signal here. It did hit lost 9% here. You know, you can see BLZ 9%, but you know, our other ones did hit profits. And for the most part, we did lessen our altcoin signals as I started to notice Bitcoin dominance starting to head towards the end of that apex and a possibility of that breakout to the upside, knowing that if that did occur, that we would see Bitcoin also see a breakout as it does correlate. But the biggest thing is this, if I could give one piece of advice to somebody that's maybe a beginner in, you know, this market, here's the thing. If you want to understand what's occurring in this market, then you have to also understand what other markets and assets affect this market. And in my opinion, the biggest correlation I've seen over the last few months is gold and Bitcoin dominance, not necessarily Bitcoin, but Bitcoin dominance. I'll give you an example here. You can see gold already wicked above that 50-day moving average after we saw a big breakdown to the downside. Once again, these breakdowns are not going to be as significant as Bitcoin because it's not just not as volatile as Bitcoin, but the market structure is what you want to pay attention to, right? So you can see big breakdown from support. Gold went above the 50, but then it quickly retraced back. Why do I expect Bitcoin to retrace back? Because gold did. And so you see, we also have this minor death cross happening here with Bitcoin dominance where the 50 is going right below that 100. Is that important? Possibly. You know, it just seems like these death cross, though, you know, they are affecting the market quite a bit. You know, this breakout did happen right at when that death cross was supposed to happen today. But at the end of the day, understand the fact that there's always intention behind every move. These are the type of moves that traders would typically lose money on. But that's why you have stops in place. You wait for the consolidation and then you then use that consolidation to make amazing profits, back and forth profits. And then, yeah, at one point, something's going to happen up, something's going to happen down. Like one of our Forex signals recently, we had like a GBP USD trade. And I think that totally just flew out the window. It was a short that we posted. We lost on it. But guess what? GBP and GBP and Euro pairing started to finally see some market structure, and we made back all those losses tenfold with our trades. And it's because, you know, that's how trading works, right? It's risk reward ratio. You find the right risk, you find the right reward, you continue to trade that trend until the trend breaks. Once the trend breaks, take a step back, you wait for consolidation, you wait for more trends, and then you go back in and you start to evaluate what is the best opportunities here. So I think that would help. So I'm going to be giving away a book again as well. I see we already got you know, three or four more people here that joined the Discord. Yusuf, Zazi, I will be picking one of you guys, you know, to go ahead. It's a free Discord. The link is in the description below. There's a mobile version, which I recommend you use because you get the notification straight to your phone. And, you know, you would have been able to predict all of this if you paid attention to our market updates, because I did post, hey, look, this is a great indicator for BTC as well, since they both initially rallied at the same time. However, we need to see what would happen. There's a large triangle forming. And so, you know, you can see gold just broke major resistance, very little attention going towards it, and it eventually did break that. And that would have been the indicator there for Bitcoin as well. And, you know, even with Bitcoin dominance, we knew that, hey, we were heading towards that apex. So it was important to watch. So, you know, those are the type of updates you want to get while you're at work or you're with your family having dinner, and you just get an update and you're like, okay, cool. Makes sense. Let me, you know, understand that, and you don't have to take 50 minutes of your time to watch a video about it or anything. So somebody says, as the number of noobs getting squeezed out of their positions continues to climb, the number of wallets holding more than 100 Bitcoin is hitting an all-time high. In every market, a very small portion of market participants own the majority. This is true in real estate, the stock market, and in crypto. Whales aren't getting squeezed out of crypto. They're accumulating in mass proportions over the counter. They have the exchanges tethered up to scare you, to get you to surrender your Bitcoins up from them. Please open your eyes, people. You know, I agree a lot with that, Jesus. You know, I met this this 18-year-old kid here in Los Angeles, California. He was driving a Lamborghini. He wanted to meet with me, and I was very speculative. I was very speculative of meeting with him. And you know, he had done very well for himself, coming from a different country. He, you know, interestingly enough, had a wife and kids. And it was cool because, you know, I hung out with him for some time, and I realized, you know, what he was doing, and all he was doing was being an intermediary for Bitcoin over the counter transactions. And I would literally sit there and, you know, go to, you know, the montage, you know, I'd go to Santa Monica Beach, and, you know, we'd be at a restaurant, and he would literally just pop his computer open up Bitcoin Core, his wallet. And I'd see him do 150 Bitcoin transaction right there, receive a, you know, let's say, you know, $800,000 wire. and confirm the transaction and send it right over. And it's like, dude, you just did an $800,000 transaction, made a 10% commission on that. And that's how he's making tens and tens of thousands of dollars a month. And he was just doing OTC transactions, acting as an intermediary. I saw the majority of him doing that around when Bitcoin was around that $10,000, $10,500 mark. Guess what? That's a huge part of this market. OTC transactions, they don't happen on exchanges. I'd say the majority of large transactions just don't happen on exchanges. Well, guess what? When somebody's buying that type of Bitcoin and that amount of Bitcoin, they're just not the average Joe, right? You don't got the average Joe sending a wire of $800,000 to somebody, right? No, these are people that are saying, hey, I see this as a very, very unique opportunity for me to put capital into and hold capital in order for it to possibly see an ROI in the future. Now, you could argue, like the Wolf of Wall Street says, oh, Bitcoin is just like a penny stock. Well, understand this, the fact that he refers to Bitcoin as a currency shows you his first ignorance about the market, and therefore he's not educated about this market. And I don't like to listen to people who are uneducated about this market. I first got into this market back around 2010. I started trading the market in 2014. I've seen Bitcoin, I've seen Ethereum, I've seen Litecoin, I've seen them go through their cycles. And upon that, you know, over the last 2 years that I've started to advise, almost a dozen blockchain companies, I've come to realize it's just like the dot-com boom, right? You've got all of this new technology that's trying to be, enhanced and amplified for there to have use case. And the interesting thing about Bitcoin is it just can't be stopped, right? The Wolf of Wall Street says, he's like, I was watching his interview. He's like, oh, and understand, people listen to this guy, interestingly enough, even though I think he's got a negative $90 million net worth right now because of how much money he gypped investors, went to jail for, and then they made a movie about him called The Wolf of Wall Street, right? And I'm talking about the actual guy who was that, you know, the movie was based upon. He's got like a YouTube channel and stuff. He's a great guy. You know, I've seen him around in LA and stuff, but he wants to talk about Bitcoin, and I'm going to talk about his opinion on Bitcoin. I'm not going to talk about him as a person, but at the end of the day, he's so adamant about Bitcoin being something that is just a penny stock. But no, it's not. You know, penny stocks don't have ATMs that you can withdraw cash from. Penny stocks can't be used as a currency, and you can't send a penny stock across the border and within seconds get it to another place, right? I did a talk in Arizona. I was at a mastermind at this university, and I talked about the importance of Bitcoin and what it really means. And one big importance of Bitcoin is the fact that it can be transferred across the border within seconds, right? Because you understand this. I used to have family and friends that worked at Walt Disney World, and they talked about these college students that would come in this college program. And this college program incentivized students to come from foreign countries to Walt Disney World and work there for minimum wage and do whatever the hell the manager wanted you to do, right? And sometimes they'd say, go clean the trash, go clean the bathroom, go, you know, do this or do that. And they get paid minimum wage. But guess what? You get somebody from the Philippines, you get somebody from India, you get somebody from China, you know, these developing countries, and you say, hey, you're going to make $8 an hour. Well, $8 an hour to somebody in the Philippines is almost a week's worth of income for their family, right? You know, because there's just such a difference when it comes to the currency there. Well, traditionally, if they were coming here on behalf of their family to start working in a college program and make US dollars at minimum wage, which is almost like a doctor's full-time income there, what do they want to do? They want to send back to their family, right? Because we all have a close heart to our family, I hope, right? If you guys like your family, say I. If you hate your family, say screw family in the live chat. I want to see here who has some family issues. I'm just kidding. We're going to see people say it. But understand this. You're going to send money back to your family. Traditionally, let's say you get $300 paycheck at the end of the week and you're a college program student. That $300 is worth a month's worth of income for your family back home. You want to send them half of that, let's say. Traditionally, they'd go to Western Union. They'd, you know, file a transfer, wired over, and guess what? They just paid a $35 international transfer fee. Well, that $35 could have been the food budget for the week of their family, and they just had to waste that on an international transaction fee versus, hey, why don't we take this US dollar, put it into Coinbase, buy Bitcoin, then just send them Bitcoin. Don't got to pay that transaction fee. And you wonder why Robinhood and, you know, Fidelity and these major institutions are saying, hey, no more trading fees for all traders, right? because they're realizing they can't sit there and just be the middleman and collect as a toll road to these people when this new technology is arising and you see, you know, a lot more efficiency in this type of technology. So if you guys agree with that, like the video. Edwin Vargas says, haha, I love my family for sure. Also love the TPZ family. Shout out to you all. Thank you, Edwin. I think you're one of our premium members. Appreciate that, man. You know, I really put in a lot of work after my car accident recently to enhance everything. You know, we hired almost a dozen analysts now. So it's not just me posting signals. You can see I have our analysts here. And we made sure to get analysts from around the world so that we can post signals on a 24/7 basis and not just covering crypto, but Forex stocks and BitMEX. It's funny because most of our members, they don't trade all of the markets. They only trade one market, but they just like getting the alerts for the other markets. And that's how I wanted to build it. You know, I wanted to build it in a way that we can have a reasonable amount of trades for every single market so that you can see, okay, well, Forex is doing really good right now. And typically when Forex is doing good, Bitcoin or crypto doesn't do good. And people start realizing correlations. People start realizing that it's not just the crypto market that they can invest in. There's other places to invest. And then it opens the door for long-term investments. And that's the impact I want to make, is to make people financially literate, to understand that it's not that hard to gain financial independence for your life and gain that financial freedom for yourself when you realize that, yes, this is a great market to invest in. Yes, there's a lot of opportunities, but you just have to understand, okay, what is your plan? What is your strategy? Do you have an IRA? Do you have a 401k? Is that part of your strategy? Do you not want that? Do you not want to lock your income up until you're 59 and a half? Do you want to just put it all in a brokerage account? Well, if you do put it all in a brokerage account and you're investing in one or two or three or four or five stocks, well, now you're only limiting, you're exposing yourself to so much risk where you can put it into a index fund where now you're investing in the whole S&P 500 as a whole, and now you're limiting your risk and diversifying it at the highest level where it's proven itself for 100 years, right? Or, okay, well, what should I dedicate towards investing in Bitcoin or trading Bitcoin? Well, it really depends on what you want, right? If you watched our video, our last video that we did 2 weeks ago, I was like, for long-term investors, because there's three types of investors, short-term, medium-term, long-term. I was like, for long-term investors, this area, 7,800 is a great place to invest. Guess what? I have a long-term investment portfolio with Bitcoin. I sold a ton of it today at 10,300. Why? Because I bought a ton of it around the $7,000 level. I was like, well, great. I just saw 25% profit on the money. Let me put it in there. And well, you know, I'll reposition myself later. It's called rebalancing your portfolio, right? So understand that when you get to that point, it's such a fulfilling, you know, feeling, because you start to realize that, yeah, maybe my family's had financial issues their whole life, but at the end of the day, I'm an intelligent investor. This was actually recommended by Warren Buffett as one of the best Bibles about investing. You know, and when I say investing, it's not just investing in one market. It's just as a whole, right? So I think that's extremely important here. We will be giving this book away. I'm going to give it away to whoever joins our free Discord group. Maybe I'll do it to one of the new premium members. I think we just had somebody sign up to a premium group. I think I got an email just now. Maybe we'll do either one. Maybe we'll do both. How about that? I'll give away the book though. Don't worry. At the end of this live stream, we'll give away a book. And we'll take some more questions here. Can you look at XRP Megamind 101? You know, here's the thing with altcoins right now. In my opinion, with altcoins, you just got to be extremely aware of the fact that they are at all-time lows, still trending down. And everything that we're seeing right now with Bitcoin is opposing to what is happening with altcoins. But here's one interesting thing. And this is why right before I got on live, I had a quick meeting with some of my head analysts. And I told them that I wanted them to start watching the major altcoins to see which one they think is going to see the most momentum following Bitcoin's push. And the reason I say that is because when we look at gold, and gold's been correlating quite a bit. You know, what's also really interesting is, check this out. Not only is gold correlating with market structure, but check this out. So you got this descending resistance level here with Bitcoin dominance, and then you've got this descending resistance level here with gold. Guess what happened? So gold did this first, and we posted it, and we actually did a 100 pip trade on that one. It went right above that and propped right back down below the resistance. Bitcoin dominance, it finally broke out of that, but guess what? It hasn't propped back down yet. But since it'd be safe to assume that this is going to still correlate, because why would it change? If you agree, say aye. So if that's the case, then if Bitcoin dominance is going to reach retract very soon, and let's see, let's say it's a 2.3% retraction out of a 4.3% push up, that's almost half, so that's 50%. That means that we'll most likely see, you know, altcoins, if Bitcoin, if this took Bitcoin up 40%+, then there are going to be some altcoins that are going to be up 20%+ in the next week or so, or 2 weeks, or depending on how long it takes. That's why I said, I told my analyst, I said, hey, listen, obviously this happened. We need to be aware of this. We want the best for our members that are receiving our trades. So watch Ethereum, watch Ripple, watch Tron, watch these major coins. Which ones are going to make the move, right? You can see USD chart doesn't look bad, but you look at the Bitcoin charts, they all look pretty bad. So we're in the process of doing that analysis. It does take some time because I also have a filtering and verification process in place so that we can not only get the trades from our analysts, but then have our head analyst filter, you know, out of 6 trades, let's say 2 to 3 to actually post. So give us some time on that. But, you know, right now what I will say is I'm not expecting Bitcoin to maintain these highs above 10,000 right now, but we definitely want to see, is it going to be able to stay above that $9,000 level? Because if so, it's going to go ahead and negate the death cross, allowing that 50-day moving average to then cross back up or to start pushing itself back up, which will give us that possibility here. So Megamind and Alex say, let's see. Asim says, my suggestion would be whoever analyst posts a trade, mention his name as well. You know, we used to do that. We used to have all of our analysts with their own accounts, but, you know, just on a business sense, it just didn't make sense because we had a lot of fallout and we had to replace a lot of analysts. You know, some of them went and did, you know, their own thing, and it just didn't work for our model. You know, what I'm really trying to create is a community that is just realizing the fact that, you know, it's not about just entry, stop, and target. It's about understanding that you should always be trailing your stops. You should always be laddering into positions, laddering out of positions. You should always be moving stops to break even, right? You should always be doing these fundamental things that allow you to successfully trade, you know, focusing on price action, market structure, overall trend on higher time frames. These all matters. Not using indicators as, you know, what to watch, but using indicators as confirmations, right? You know, if we look at indicators, we didn't get to look at much indicators here. We're looking at daily RSI here. You can see we had this this descending RSI that finally broke out. It actually pushed itself above, and this is why I'm confident that, I wouldn't say I'm confident, but I'd say there's a high chance that Bitcoin will be able to consolidate above that $9,000 level here, allowing that 50-day moving average to not cross below that 200, causing that death cross. And a big part of that is if you realize when you do this RSI analysis, 60 is a very important place for RSI. You can see 60 is where you'll typically see resistance if we're going to continue a downtrend. 1, 2, 3 times here. You can see it also access support. It's really going to be that 40 and 60 that you want to watch when looking at RSI. And so when you realize, you can see 40 acting as support, broke down. We saw Bitcoin break down after that. If we look at the correlating market structure, you can see once that broke down below 40 was when we saw the big drop. So RSI, you know, if we did a quick RSI analysis here, you can see we're very bullish now with RSI because not only did we break this downtrend, but we broke past 60. And so now we have the opportunity for the RSI to become overbought here and see, you know, a similar market structure as we saw here, where Bitcoin did hit these new highs for this new bull run. And so that's what leads me to assume that, you know, once again, this was a very intentional move by the puppet masters of this market. It wasn't just a move that happened out of nowhere. Markets just don't go up 40%+ in 48 hours, right? There's intention behind this, and I believe that intention has to do with this death cross. And if you agree with that, You know, I think we already had a few of you guys on the live chat say you do agree with that. And so Bubba says silver, go moon. You know, I'm not a fan, as big of a fan of silver or silver. You know, I like gold, but I've seen the biggest correlation right now with gold and Bitcoin dominance, not Bitcoin itself. The other aspect to watch here is if we look at volume here, by the way, you see how the volume in the bottom, you see how these lengths, they change as you, you know, have a certain amount in the field of view. The reason being is because it's you know, depending on what's in the field of view, it's adjusting to that. But if we were to go ahead and actually do some sort of a volume analysis here, I'll go ahead and brighten this baby up for you so you can see the type of volume we're seeing here. You can see right now, if we were to take this whole trend that went up and what's happening with volume, it's interesting because we had these peak volumes here and it was the start of the bull run, right? And that's where we saw that peak volume. And then we saw that peak volume at the top, the initial top, right? And then we saw a very, 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 descendant amount of volume occur shortly afterwards, which led to the consolidation. And then when we saw this big drop, it was when we saw very little volume, right? What I like about this right here is that it was pretty significant. This was very significant here because this was institutional sell-off. There's no retail sell-off that's going to show like this on a daily. So that right there is very positive. Yeah, we might have not have seen as big of a volume spike, like that with the buy volume, but understand buy volume comes in differently than how sell volume comes in. A lot of sell volume is coordinated. And I say that because, you think these puppet masters are just all in a Discord group together talking to each other. That's not how it works. Puppet masters and whales in the market, you know, they come in batches of dozens. They come in batches of hundreds, right? So you've got all of these little groups and for the most part, one group has one guy that's connected to this group, that's connected to that group, that's connected to that group, and they're able to coordinate quite well, right? There's always going to be speculation within these whale groups. There's going to be speculation within these, market masters, these puppet masters. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the selling side, that's when a lot of money's on the line. And, you know, there's a lot more coordination when it comes to that. When it comes to the buying side, it feels more speculative to these whales. And therefore, they're like, I don't know. There's a death cross, you know. And so you'll see the volume, as you can see. We may have not seen as significant of a spike initially, but you can see we're seeing a big spike up and even a bigger spike the next day. And I'd be interested to see what's the next day going to hold. If we just see more spikes of this level, I'm fine with that. Because guess what? That's still a good amount of buy volume. Matter of fact, the same way that the top here was formed by this peak buy volume, the bottom here could have been formed by this bottom peak sell volume, right? But at the end of the day, we don't know because we have to be patient. We're at a critical point. And when I say be patient, understand this was very highly coordinated. It's on Friday. And understand that because it was on Friday, we have to wait Saturday and Sunday to see what happens to traditional markets. The highest manipulation in the crypto market occurs on the weekend. So right now, it's very high risk. We posted that in our Discord group. We let everyone know, hey, high risk market right now. Close, crypto trades. But we are at a point, this is the S&P 500, one of the most popular traditional markets in the US. We're at this triple high here. We haven't broken the all-time high yet, but I think this was a big indicator and this was a big reason we saw liquidity on Friday float into, or Thursday and Friday float into gold and then float into Bitcoin. It's because when it comes to institutions, they're realizing, okay, is this going to continue up or is it going to see another drop? It's a triple top. And, based on market structure, it could see another drop. Well, when you look at the overall perspective, you realize, okay, we've been in this over 10-year bull run. You read Ray Dalio's principles. You read Benjamin Graham's Intelligent Investor. They talk about 10 to 12-year market cycles. Understanding that as an institution, it's very high risk right now to be in traditional markets. So guess what? That's the time to start hedging these storage of value assets. Gold being one of the correlating assets to Bitcoin dominance, you can see over the last few months, March here in February and January of 2019, we've seen break all-time high since 2014. And then Bitcoin dominance following the same type of movement here. Bitcoin following the same type of moving here around the same time frame, right? So Bitcoin's always been a little bit more delayed than gold. But it, you know, I love the fact that it's almost so obvious. And I'd love to hear it from the live audience too. I see we have got a lot of new people on here. Adil, Derekino, Crypto Attic. We'll do another book giveaway as well. So we'll give away a book for one of the individuals that are new to our Discord. I see we have over 10 new members here. So I will be giving that away to one of you guys. Miguel's DM just joined in. Mas Kajar, Kylim, and Wahoo. And that's a free Discord out. But we'll also give away a book to one of our new subscribers as well. I see we've got several new subscribers to our channel. But I want you guys to pay attention, and we'll ask a question at the end of this, and I will be wrapping up real soon, but I do have one more thing I want to talk about that's extremely important. But understand this, you know, when it comes to this whole understanding of what's happening, at the end of the day, people talk about Bitcoin as what? The digital version of gold. Well, when people question the fact that gold is correlating to Bitcoin, I question the fact that their, you know, interpretation of this market is accurate, because, you know, if you've heard this in the past, let's take a poll here. If you've heard that Bitcoin is the digital version of gold, say I in the live chat. And if so, then if that's the case, and it's the digital representation of gold, then why wouldn't there be a correlation to gold? And so some of the most successful traders in the markets that I know of personally, they are correlative traders. So, you know, for example, if you guys know, if you know Ricky Gutierrez, big shout out to my brother Ricky. He spoke at one of my penthouse masterminds here in Hollywood, California, one of the largest stock trading groups in the world. We have the largest crypto trading group in the world. We have over 5,000 premium users. We have over 25,000 students. He's got like over 100,000 in his group with stocks. They only focus on stocks, though. Big shout out to Ricky. If you guys know Ricky, say go Ricky in the chat. I'd love to see where we've mingled audiences, but you know, he loves correlating U.S. oil and other stocks and trading like that on a daily basis, and he's very successful at that. He's the youngest millionaire in Arizona, right? So it's important to understand, you know, I've been in the crypto market since around 2010. I've been trading since around 2014. Is the fact that I've always correlated Bitcoin to something else as I've traded it. In the past, I've correlated it with other coins like Ethereum and Litecoin specifically. I remember 2014 and 15, you'd see Ethereum shoot up, right? And you'd know like, okay, well, if Ethereum just shot up, Bitcoin's gonna shoot up. And that's how we traded back then. We used to have our trade groups back then. But it's very different now with the, you know, altcoins, you know, they had their bubble in 2017 and 18, and obviously they've corrected themselves, but it, you know, it's just a very different market. People are realizing the actual fundamentals of what Bitcoin is actually representing. Because it's like somebody said in the chat earlier, they said, "Oh well, Bitcoin," you know, they said it in the chat, they said, "Isn't Bitcoin a currency, not a storage of value?" But that's what the perception was back then, and that's why there wasn't a correlation with stuff like gold. But now people are maturing, realizing, well, no, it's not just a currency, it's a storage of value as well. And that's why I kind of, you know, I'm adamant about going against what he's saying. Wahoo says, I was talking about Wolf of Wall Street, I'm adamant about going against what he says, because he's so adamant about Bitcoin being a penny stock and a bubble, but he still talks about it as a currency. So here's one thing. If you want to know if somebody actually knows what they're talking about when it comes to Bitcoin, watch their words. If they refer to it as a currency, they have no idea what they're talking about. You know, I've been around Roger Ver, I've been around Vitalik, I've been around the big YouTubers, right? I've been around Brock Pierce, I've been around the largest block producers for EOS and some of the largest block producers for Ethereum. You know, they all understand it as a storage of value. Let's see here. Wahoo says, go Ricky. I like it. So I guess we don't have much of a mingling audience here. Edwin and Chantois, Denex, Derekino, Jack K., Ryan Sebeck, all of them said, hey, I love it. Jeremy Mayhem. Good to see a lot of our Discord members on here. Alex says it's an appreciating currency. Well, what it really is, it's a storage of value and a volatile asset class together. And it's the only asset that's like that, according to some of the billionaires in this space here. So RS Nurse says Roger needs to leave the space. I want to say that. So here, we'll be giving a book away. I'm going to ask a question here, and it's going to be easy. So this will be for our YouTube audience, and then we'll choose one of our Discord members. So to be eligible, just like the video and subscribe, support the channel. Here's the question. So Bitcoin is a new type of asset, and there's tons of assets like gold, and there's commodities, right? There's future assets. What is Bitcoin like? What does it represent? A volatile asset class, a storage of value, or both? Let's ask that question. It should be easy because I just said it a couple minutes ago. And so unless you have horrible memory, then you're not going to win that. But we'll give some of the new subscribers here a chance, because I know that some of the current ones, you know, they hear the same thing quite often, because, you know, I have a very strict belief system on this market. I'm very adamant about it as well. While you guys are posting the answers, and I'll pick a winner for this book here. And by the way, if you do win, just send me your information on Discord. We'll get that sent over to you. I want to talk about total cryptocurrency market cap. Do a quick analysis here, because there are some things that I do want you guys to pay attention to here. Understand this. We did see a bottom here at that 50-week moving average here. And that acted as the bottom here for the total cryptocurrency market cap. This is a big representation of not just what's going to happen to Bitcoin, but some of these altcoins. So you can see this was also the area that we saw very strong support in the past, where it was the 100-day moving average support during that 2017 correction. And then anything below that was the accumulation zone for smart money to come in. Now, what I love about this chart is you can see volume here is a lot more violent now than it was in the past. And so this is a very good sign that in total, we're seeing a lot stronger volume in the market. You know, and I think a big part of that has to do with looking at a chart like this, where we see Bitcoin transactions per day maintaining these very high levels. And so, you know, one of the companies that I talked about earlier that I advise, Blockchain BTM, you know, they have these ATMs around, and I'll tell you this right now, you know, there's no stopping them right now when it comes to building out these ATMs. They've never seen more interest by gas stations and airports and different facilities to have these ATMs there. And we're seeing that across the board. And so, you know, you start throwing out all these opportunities for people to be able to use Bitcoin, and people will start using it, right? It's like the iPhone, right? You know, if you were around in the 90s, you would have never thought of an iPhone being, you know, something that everyone was going to be addicted on and using. And instead of having newspapers out on the bus or on their phones, but guess what? You give people an iPhone, they look at it and they're like, man, this is actually pretty cool. They're going to use it, right? So same thing happens with Bitcoin. That's how the mass adoption occurs. So I see we have Trigger, Alex, Crypto Wars, all of you guys answering the question here. Let's pick a winner for this book here before we wrap this up. I see we have another question here by TVI Express, which we'll go over. Crypto Addict in the house. Good to have you guys. Addy. So let's see here. So the question was, is Bitcoin a volatile asset, a storage of value, or both? It's the answer is both, and it's the only asset that's both, right? You've got storages of value like silver. You've got storages of value like gold. You know, you've got bonds and stuff, which are safer investments. You've got traditional stocks, volatile assets, but Bitcoin acts as both. And so let's see here. One of our new subscribers here, we'll pick Trigger Hop. PP, whatever, you know, whatever your information is, send it over on Discord, and I'll have my team send over The Intelligent Investor. That's our book of the day today. One of Warren Buffett's favorite books. He calls it the Bible of investing. You'll win that. And then on Discord, as we wrap up the stream, we will pick another winner for one of our new Discord members. I see we have a ton of new users here, so we'll pick one of you guys. And I just love incentivizing you guys in order for you guys to make good decisions on your financial literacy, because education is powerful. And, you know, I was watching this video by the CEO of Blackstone. He's in the 100 most wealthiest individuals in the world. Blackstone being a huge, huge fund, you know, he would be an equivalent to like Ray Dalio, who owns Bridgewater, the largest private hedge fund in the world, managing over $130 billion in assets. And this individual, I couldn't recall his name right now, but the CEO of Blackstone said, you know, he went to China and he met with one of the higher ups in the government there. And he said that one of the conversations they had was on education, and the higher up, you know, one of the guys in the higher end of the government in China said, yeah, you know, we're actually going to mandate that it's required that all students in our school system take computer science. The CEO of Blackstone, you should have seen his face on his interview. He was like, imagine every student coming out of their school system being computer literate. In the US, it's like less than 5% of students take computer science. So when it comes to the perspective of these economies in the future, you have to realize education is a big piece of it, because that's where you see the new wave come in, right? That it all has to start with the younger folks, right? Well, if everyone's computer literate in China and people in America, you know, in America aren't, guess who's going to surpass us in every aspect, not just the economical aspect? It's going to be the more educated society. And so I think that's a big issue. And so, you know, it's what I fight for. It's financial literacy. You know, I've been blessed to have the blessings that I've had. And a big part of that has been being a trader. And since 2014, being in the Bitcoin market, in 2016 and early 2017, walking away from my full-time corporate job, I remember just sitting there in my cubicle and I was trading Bitcoin. And I think this was January or early 2017, or it may have been mid 2017. And there was a futures trader that worked at this call center that we did sales. And he was always watching me. I always get in trouble with my manager because I'm trading and trying to sell. And I was one of the top salesmen there as well. And you know, I hated it. It was the worst thing ever. I wasn't passionate about it. I didn't enjoy it. And, you know, I remember I was just like sitting there, and I think I'd made a $3,000 trade. And the guy was watching me from the back. And I had no idea. He's like, did you just make $3,000? I was like, yeah. He's like, dude, he's like, if you're making that type of money on that computer just trading, he's like, why are you sitting here doing the phone calls? And I remember that next day I came in, I handed my headphones to my manager. I said, hey, dude, I'm done. You know, it's over. Like, I got to walk away from this. And since then, my life has changed. You know, been able to grow this large following on YouTube and Instagram and travel around the world, advise almost half a dozen blockchain companies. I spoke on stage with Steve Wozniak, the co-founder of Apple, Gary Vee, and a lot of the big crypto guys. But I like going around these old school guys like Steve Wozniak, you know, and hearing his perspective on things, because, you know, that guy's a complete genius. But anyways, we're going to be giving away this book and wrapping this baby up. On our Discord here for one of our newest members here. I see we have a ton of new people here. And let's go ahead and take some of our audience questions and wrap this baby up. Let's see. Alex DePepe said 100% correct. Jeff Green says 100% correct on what? Education? I hope. Thank you. Dinux says this has been an awesome day. Megamind says new for Discord. Looking forward to it. 100. So Jeff Green says, what site is your chart from? I'm not seeing that type of volume on Coinbase or Bitfinex. This right here is all the information is on the top left. So if you want to, after this live stream, rewind the video, you can see where all the charts are at. But for Bitcoin, my main chart I use is Bitfinex. When we're looking at Bitcoin dominance, all of this is calculated just by TradingView themselves. So I'm sure they're aggregating a lot of information here. You know, when we're looking at some of these other charts like XRP, BTC, we're using Binance where there's the most volume. You know, I try to use where the most volume is at. But yeah, and then if you want the volume on the right hand side, just ask me on Discord. I can get you this chart layout. It's a custom chart layout that I've used, has found that has worked best for me. Alex says, yeah, knowledge is power. Do you think we've hit our short-term low at 7.2K? I would be hesitant to say that, but I will say this. If we see a continuation below 9,000 and that allows this death cross to become fully present, which you can see here, it's already happened. You know, we've already made that crossover, but this chart's going to change, you know, significantly if we're able to stay above 9,000. But if we see that downside, that 50-day, you know, fully crossover, we see price action drop below 9,000, then this would have just been a fake out and a clearing of shorts before we see a possible consolidation period that could possibly show us new lows. As if we look here in the past, this right here where this arrow is pointed, this right here was that initial death cross in the past, and you can see it was almost let's see how many months before we saw that bull run. You know, almost a whole year. You know, right around 360 days before we saw that pop back up after the initial death cross. So, you know, like really, the question is, you know, if this can't maintain price action, this was just a way to clear shorts, then we may see a consolidation period up until around October of 2020 before we see any sort of momentum up. And I think that could also be a predictor for the market and when we'll possibly see a recession. You know, if this were to occur, my other assumption is that we'll see S&P 500 continue up. If that continues up, we'll probably see another year of continuation on the traditional markets here. That continues up, and gold will probably also see some downside, consolidate, but probably won't break below the 2014 high of 1370. And if that's the case, then it'll allow gold to also see some consolidation for a year. And then I think there'll be a time that we say, okay, it's time for you know, us to hedge into this. But you know, that's a possibility. Hopefully, it's not the case. And the reason I say that is because, you know, never before have we seen all three moving averages just get broken in 48 hours the way we just saw it over the last 48 hours. That never happened during this bear market cycle. So this is a whole different scenario. And I think it's a very different time in the market. You know, understand that when 2017 rally happened, you know, stock market didn't look like this. Yeah, you know, we did see a huge drop. You know, it's interesting. Look, if you look at December of 2017 here and then entering 2018, we saw Bitcoin peak. As soon as Bitcoin peaked, stocks, you know, it saw a huge, huge correction. So it was almost like they thought this was the top, but it wasn't. So we got a whole nother period of higher highs forming. And so the question is this going to see another drop? If so, gives Bitcoin the room to consolidate higher levels above 9,000, allowing the 50-day moving average to then go, you know, back above that 200, which would theoretically be a golden cross after the death cross. So this might be the first time ever that there's a golden cross and death cross in, you know, in a week span, right? Hopefully that's the case. But if the death cross does happen, we look at previous market structure and timing, then it, you know, it did result in over a year of consolidation and even lower levels, which could very possibly be the case. And if that is the case, I'm not worried. You know, it gives us an opportunity. You know, there's high volume in this area of around that $6,300-$6,400 mark. And yeah, let's say we form another low like we did here. Guess what? This becomes the accumulation zone the same way this was the accumulation zone, where smart money comes in, and then you position yourself to then take advantage of the next run up, where, you know, if you did position yourself well here, that's 268% of gains, right? So you position yourself down in this level. Guess what? Let's see how that looks. If we, you know, if we do hit that, you know, that volume here, you see this right hand side where the volume is peaking, it means there's good support. Let's say we do hit that and we see a 268% rise, then we break all time highs. And you know, we get around that $26,000 level, the $25,000 level. And so I wouldn't mind for Bitcoin to be worth, you know, $6,000 and then see another 250%+ rise and be worth $25,000. But guess what? By this time, ETFs will be approved, right? I mean, we just got the first options, regulated options approved. And it hasn't even came out yet. It's in December, right? Bakkt just hit all-time new highs with volume, showing institutional interest in this market. As I said, Cambridge Analytics in March of 2019, they issued that paper to all of these funds holding large amounts of capital to start putting into crypto and blockchain. They're not going to put it in Ethereum, I'll tell you that right now, not when Ethereum's chart's looking like this, right? So if that's the case, that it's going to be a whole different market back then. But it takes time for markets to mature. The cool thing about this is, you know, the reason, you know, when we expanded to not only just post crypto signals, but post Forex stock and BitMEX trades, it's because of the fact that, especially with BitMEX, which BitMEX, you don't have to, I actually don't trade all the any of the BitMEX signals on BitMEX. I use MT4 and the Hugo's Way Up. It comes in the course that you get when you if you join the premium group in our Discord. But if you're not, there's also quick tips here and resources that can get you some good information here. And I'd highly recommend going through this stuff. By the way, you know, there's an interesting chart about exchange fees. You know, Gemini being the highest, exchange fee or exchange that charges the highest fees. But yeah, you go through quick tips. You can see some of my personal strategies here. We have over 30 hours of content for our premium members. And then we have about 10 hours of content here for any one of you that are in our Discord. We talk about the fact that I don't care if Bitcoin's at $5,000. I don't care if Bitcoin's at $20,000. I'm still able to trade it. At this point, we want to wait for market maturity and market structure to form before getting into anything. And that's what I would say, in my opinion. Other than that, I want to give away this this book here before we wrap this stream up. So for whoever has supported our video, gave us a nice thumbs up here, and has joined our Discord here to be able to educate yourself and keep yourself up to date with our community here, let's go ahead and choose one of you. So let's just choose. I'm just going to close my eyes, scroll, and stop. All right, stop. The last one in the list, Megamind 101. Go ahead and shoot me your info on Discord, and I see we already got the other winners here. We'll send you The Intelligent Investor, Warren Buffett's favorite investment book. Other than that, guys, I hope you enjoyed this stream. Make sure to subscribe and like the video. I do have some speaking engagements over the next few weeks. I'm going to try my best to be getting on, definitely during times like this. I will be on to inform you guys, but I am on the Discord every single day, 24/7, not myself, but just myself and other analysts posting my market updates. You know, we predicted a lot of this stuff here. We knew market dominance was reaching this. You know, I post a nice text update, and then, you know, on your mobile phone, it pretty much looks like this. So you're getting the same information, but you're getting it, you know, straight to your phone like that. And you're able to see all this information on your phone and on the go. You're just like reading through stuff, and you're able to stay up to date. Highly recommend staying there. I will be there for you guys at all times. And so I appreciate you guys' time here. I'm excited for those of you that won this book to be able to start giving yourself a little bit more of an insight into understanding what it means to become financially successful and understanding what Bitcoin really means in the bigger picture, not just the, oh, is it going to pump today or is it going to drop today? It's not about that. It's about what's the bigger picture here. Well, the bigger picture is here. We saw a huge pump immediately after gold pump. And at the same time, the S&P was at a peak high. And at the same time, it was Friday, where Saturday and Sunday, we see high manipulation in the market. So all these things matter. When you understand these things, you understand what you're getting yourself into, and you're less apt to losing money in a market like this and actually gaining and benefiting off of it on the side of what you're currently doing. And so, that's what matters to me, is for you guys to become financially literate in all aspects and understanding the correlations of all markets, because they all tie into each other. It's like a huge spider web. So thank you guys so much. Jeff says, okay, I just subscribed. I want to know what you think of gold in the stock market. Wonderful. Well, thank you guys so much for your time here. And you know what? Any new premium members today, I'll send out this book to as well, because I saw we had one or two, I think. Let me see here. Big shout out to Jeff Lorenzo. Let me see who else. Robert Jacobson and Nathan Daniels for joining the premium group on the live stream. I'll send you guys books as well. I should already have, or send me your information as well so that we can get that out to you. And whoever joins by the end of tonight, we'll send this book out to as well. Thank you guys so much. I'm going to wrap up here. I'm going to do some more analysis. We will be posting the altcoins in our Discord group as well soon. Our analysts are on that right now. We're waiting to see which altcoins here. You know, we're seeing this huge, huge drop in a lot of these altcoins. We want to know which ones are the ones that are going to, see the continuation up, because I am expecting Bitcoin dominance to see a major drop. So we'll post that soon. And I don't think I'm forgetting anything. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and appreciate all of your guys' support. God bless all of you. And until next time, I'm out.